All right, Sunday, August 8th. Welcome to the Williams and Bloom Sunday Night Podcast. The wife asked me tonight, when are you guys going to be done with this? The quarantine's been over for a while. And I was like, it's official now. Like, it's, we're rolling. A happy birthday to your wife.
Yeah. Thank Crystal. You. It was a fun weekend back in her
lovely Crystal Bloom.
Yep.
What all did you guys do?
We had a family reunion for her birthday.
That sounds horrible.
It was so,
that sounds awful.
I can't
think of a worse way to spend my birthday.
But you know her
they're good. They're good people.
They get after it.
I like her family. Yeah, it was fine.
It was fine.
That sounds just stressful.
There was 40 of us, and so her grandma had all but one of her 21 great grandchildren there. So that was kind of cool, or whatever it was.
I've been doing home improvement all weekend.
So you finished your gym.
I finished my gym. Cody Rhodes, a little cheers.
You're going to start looking like Breece Hall.
Man, I hope so. Well, I ain't ever look like Breece. But, time. Everything with me is time. Like, yeah. I never have enough time.
And there's a bunch of people in our age range. And
yes. I thought, like, okay, when I used to work out, the thing that keeps me from doing it now is I would drive to Ankeny, work out, drive back, shower, or even if I shower there, it's a 2.5 hour commitment.
Process, right.
So now it's literally right next to my office. Go do a set, come back, you know, like, so I'll save money in the long run because I bought the gym equipment, but it's an investment.
So, yeah, I mean,
finally got my gym done.
It's tough unless you go really early, and I admire the people that have the commitment to do that.
See, I used to prior to kids.
4:30 in the morning,
though. How do you get up at 4 in the morning when you're up with a baby all night?
Well,
like, that's the problem.
And therein lies the problem.
Yeah.
Or you go late at night, but then you're fighting the same battle.
Anyways, thanks to our friends at MacDine.
Chris Clover's in great shape.
He is in good shape. Yep. He's a whiskey connoisseur, too. I was in Nashville over the last week, and Clover gave me some great spots to go and check. He travels a lot. You know, MacDine, we told you, it's a worldwide company. He gave me some spots to hit up in Nashville, a really good place. Nashville's my favorite city in the world, by the way.
I was going to say that. I told you that'd be right up your alley.
It is my favorite city that I've ever been to in my life. And it really, like, I can't... Vegas is great, but, like, it's just, it's Vegas.
Yeah. How many bachelorette parties did you run into?
Well, I mean, I didn't really, the biggest, like, party night I was at was a Thursday. I went to the Opry on Tuesday, and then I went out, downtown area Wednesday and Thursday. And, like, the biggest thing that I take away is, like, the world-class music that is being played
every day.
At 5 o'clock on a Wednesday at, like, a random dive bar.
Yep.
Like, the guys and gals who are playing on, like, a Wednesday afternoon in Nashville would be headlining anything in Iowa.
Yeah, it's basically, I mean, if you want to be somebody in country music, you go there.
Memphis is the same way when we've gone there for bowl games. It's just a different type of music that you're listening to.
Man, are you going to start CommodoreFanatic.com?
Man, I don't think we have enough fans, which is ironic, considering they're in the SEC.
The situation.
All cushy. But, no, thanks to MacDine for continuing to give... Bloom and me a reason to get together on Sunday nights to drink. The good news is MacDine and the MacDine Corporation, they love it so much. They've renewed for another year of sponsoring the Williams and Bloom podcast here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. Check them out at MacDine.com. With that, we are going to congratulations to our friends English, the band. They have their new LP out. That's what they call it, right? An LP is what the kids are calling it these days. Mm-hmm. You can check it out on Apple Music and Spotify as well. We're going to give you a little... This one is called From Hell to Breakfast as we take you in for another little Sunday night realignment fall camp discussion.
It sounds like a night at Sips.
Hold on, I didn't do that right. You want to hear the whole thing, right? You got to have the whole effect.
Yeah.
Here we go. Yeah. The horns.
What's the name of the album?
The album is called the Mona Lucy EP.
By English.
Oh, so it's an EP. I was calling it an LP. My apologies to the band English for that.
No, it's what, 5 tracks? Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Well done.
Go ahead and check it out. It just came out. It's really, really fantastic. All right. All right, Bloom. Where do we dig in? I'll lead here with the Bobby Bowden news today. Yeah. I thought it's not Iowa State, but I mean, we all think about Seneca the Run.
Absolutely,
you know, like
one of my most vivid memories.
Some great history there. I personally credit Bobby Bowden he's the reason that I hate Nebraska.
Well, you were kind of a closet Florida State fan, weren't you?
I still am.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, not really anymore because Bowden's gone.
But rooting against Nebraska.
So.
And that's the reason why
you like
the Noles.
Growing up in Southwest Iowa, it was insufferable to be an Iowa or an Iowa State fan in that era, mm-hmm. you know, in the 90s. And it was the 1994 Orange Bowl where this, you know, I'm 10. And, you know, you turn it on and the tomahawk chop and like they get these badass uniforms and like, and they beat them, you know, and it was just like, oh my God. Like it wasn't even at 10. Like I didn't even hate Nebraska, but it was like
it just popped off the screen.
Yeah. Like, but you always watch Nebraska because they were always on and this Florida State team beats them on like, because back then the bowl games were really important. Like if you're in, man, the Orange Bowl, like that was a huge deal. And from then on, I was a Florida State fan. My my late friend, you knew him well from college, Nathan.
Yeah.
He was a big Miami fan.
That's right.
Growing up. And me and Fink used to have like a annual date with one another watching the Miami-Florida State game. But yeah, like Bobby Bowden, I read his book, his latest book, and really don't want to like, oh, he was the perfect guy. But like... It fascinating, like that guard, that era of college football, right? Where really the glory years for me, prior to the disastrous end of the Joe Paterno era, right? Like,
sure,
tragic.
Good
how,
point.
But like those guys, right? And like to me, that was when the sport really grabbed me. Bowden was a titan, and then it takes me back to the Run. Or not the Run. The Seneca was in.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I mean,
never forget that night.
Well, the fact that, I mean, it was a big deal, the fact that Iowa State was even playing in that.
Yeah.
So that was the Eddie Robinson Classic. It was the first game of the year. And Florida State was ranked 3rd at the time. And actually, Andy Fales and Keith Murphy just posted a cool little thing of Fales, in typical Fales fashion, was trying to get Bowden before the game back when you could actually... You know,
when the TV guys could do
more. I mean, they just they've been now. You don't talk to the coach
just
the day
totally
before
been
the game.
Neutered.
Yeah, but they did, and so Fales is on the field in that, you know, gang of reporters.
Fales was aggressive too,
and he was, and he goes, Bobby, I'm from Iowa. How bad are you going to beat up on Iowa State tomorrow? Like, just trying to get him, and Bobby's like, oh man, they're a good team and all this stuff. But it was just,
he probably had a lot of respect for McCartney. Well,
and then it got, I mean, that and 25,000 other Cyclone fans went to that game.
You were there? Okay, great.
And I encourage people, occasionally Cyclones TV will run that, but you can find it online. It is a really phenomenal football game.
I want to watch it. Yeah,
I need to do that. Competitive. And obviously, remember the last play when, you know, Iowa State gets stuffed and Seneca was in, but it was a big comeback. Iowa State made it super interesting. Seneca was amazing that game. I mean, he literally was the best player in college football on that night. And, you know, Iowa State should have been there. Which, but my favorite story, Chris, so I was there. I was a senior in high school, and I've told the story before.
Did Dennis let you have a beer?
No, nobody let he let me take my girlfriend.
Oh,
so this was a
okay. Tell
yeah,
this
so,
story.
Yeah, right. So when we stayed at the Adams Mark, which is right across the street.
Shout out to Dennis Bloom.
Yeah, thank
Prince
you, Dennis.
Dad.
Yep, yep. It was a big. It was a big deal. So I got to take the girlfriend. We went to the Royals.
Did she stay in the same bed as you? Or does she have a cot?
I believe I'm
did
not
they
sure.
wheel in a cot for?
I think we had the double bed situation and we stayed
because it'd be she
air
can't,
quotes we stayed in separate beds.
She can't stay with your dad.
No, we had two rooms.
Oh,
I think I'm okay. trying. I mean,
yeah. Okay, but, whatever you want to tell
well,
yourself.
Well, but this is part of the story. So we go to the Royals game. I think it was the Twins, and then we go to the Iowa State game the same night. Like it was a doubleheader. It was a lot of Iowa State fans did the same thing. But it's about the second quarter, and we don't have great seats. We're up, you know, in one of the end zones. And my girlfriend at the time says to me, "Hey, where's that yellow line for first downs at?" Dead serious.
I'm surprised that was even on TV at the
Dead
time.
Dead serious. But it was great. Yeah. So I think the yellow line started in like 99. But so at that point, I'm like, yeah. Oh man. We didn't last much past the Texas Tech game that year, if I remember
right. I'll never forget. Well, the Texas Tech game was the run.
Was
right?
the run, yeah.
Yeah, and that was on TBS.
Yep.
I'll never forget that. Yep. I remember watching that. Don't judge me, but I was in a hotel room with my Uncle Dick. We had watched Iowa play. Iowa
Penn
was
State?
Terrible.
No, that was their good year. That was 02.
Was that the McCann year when?
No, 02 was Brad Banks.
Oh, well,
yeah,
I was
so they were good.
I was with my Uncle Dick in a hotel room in Iowa City. That's all I know.
Gotcha.
When Seneca had the run and we were like, holy this guy, like.
So that same year, that TBS broadcast included this two sideline reporters, Aaron Andrews and Craig Sager for that game. So, I mean, it was literally a who's who. That's another fun broadcast to go back and rewatch. And
those old TBS games, we got a lot of those.
They're on a lot. Yeah, that. Maybe Turner can get back into the game of college football. So anyway, long story short, I'm glad Iowa State had that experience against Bowden. And always
did you
always
like him?
That.
Or did
I did.
Like,
no, he was, you know what? We need more of that. I mean, he's really like a Johnny Orr type.
Yes.
Where he was a larger-than-life character. I don't know X's and O's wise if he was knew what he was doing, but he had good people underneath him. And those Bowden Spurrier rivalries in the 90s, those were awesome. I mean, you're looking at Spurrier, Bowden, Tom Osborne.
And then all the
was a
everybody
legend.
They had at Miami.
And then everybody in Miami. Yeah, the revolving door, but they're always good.
Yeah.
And it was and then, you know, Paterno not quite at that level. And then Ohio State was always, you know, somewhat there but never quite as relevant. So those were I agree. That's of course in our wheelhouse for college football, but it was a simpler time.
It was a simpler time. I long for it these days. Again, I was trying to just today explain to my wife conference realignment. Nobody really understands it unless you're completely in the weeds. And even if you're in the weeds, you don't really understand it.
Yeah, because nobody knows.
But yeah, and it doesn't make sense. Like none of it really on the surface makes any, unless you're in a boardroom in Disney, you know, for ESPN. Yeah. Like that really is what this comes down to. We did have a development. So rest in peace, Mr.
Yes,
Bowden, as we
absolutely.
Move on.
He lived a quality life.
Listen, man, like I would encourage anybody to read his latest book. If you're just a college football fan, it left a profound impact on me. His story, I'd like Dan McCarney to do something like this, but I don't know if Jamie Pollard would like it. But the story of Bowden, like when he's getting ousted there and pushed out the door, is just really, it's one of those deals where everybody understood it. But it's still heartbreaking, like to know everything what that man put into it. He built that program from nothing.
Because they brought in Jimbo to be an assistant, knowing that he was going to be the head coach.
And Bobby wasn't really
he wasn't comfortable with the situation.
It was quite the deal. Anyways, so rest in peace, Mr.
Absolutely.
Bowden, and then his sons too had a great legacy. We just saw Terry in the Akron, the saddest Iowa State football game I've ever been in after the Celia Barquin or Rosamina.
Oh.
When that Akron team came in there, but a lot of history. All right. So yeah, simpler time. Now the news of the week is that Bob Bowlsby flew to California to meet with the Pac-12 commissioner, and there's been discussions of everything from a merger to a scheduling alliance to whatever. Do you want me to go like conspiracy theory here what's just
let's, go, let's what's, go deep end.
Well, I think the pack, everybody's like, you know, because the verdict is out on what the national media thinks on the eight remaining Big 12 schools, right?
Like, yeah, and I have some beef with that, which we'll get into later.
Yeah.
But, yes, but
you know what I mean. So the immediate response is, well, what does that group do for the Pac-12, right? You saw it everywhere.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right away.
All the talking heads start saying that.
Yep.
I think it makes a lot of sense for a couple of reasons for the Pac-12. Number one is just, let's be honest. Are you positive USC's happy?
No.
If there's going to be some sort of a Super League, or even if the Big Ten were to decide, hey, we need to really step our game up to counteract this SEC, are you confident?
You can hang on to those guys. Yeah.
And that's why, like, even if you're not going to do anything now, like, do you tell me that those two commissioners didn't have some sort of a conversation about this? Because I think the Pac-12 is very similar to the old Big 12 prior to, I mean, you take, let's say you take UCLA and USC, or USC and Oregon, or whoever, Washington, you pull them out.
Yeah, USC is the big dog, though.
Yeah, and I do think that's the theme of the week, is a lot of these big schools, they can look around, and listen, I don't know. I have no idea but that's the biggest reason why it makes sense for the new Pac-12 commissioner to be having these conversations, so you don't get flat-footed like Bob Boolsby did.
Yeah, and I think you can just kind of walk before you run here. So I thought it was interesting that they really kind of pushed this scheduling alliance as a prospective thing. And so I think that's really a soft way to do this. So instead of just having a full-on merger with 20 teams or whatever it would be, if you do this scheduling alliance, you essentially could then, Chris, you could mandate, and this is assuming the Big 12 would then add 2 to 4 schools as well, from wherever. But you could mandate via this alliance that each Pac-12 and Big 12 school have to play each other in 2 of the quote-unquote non-conference games.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in basketball, it's 3 games to get each other. So why is that important? Well, TV wants good games. This is the genesis of this entire operation, is they do not want an SEC school playing a Division FCS school. Like, that does nothing for TV. So if you can just make these made-for-TV games, so every single Pac-12 school is playing 2 Big 12 schools, that immediately drives up your TV inventory for the better. And so that's not even to mention, you then grab, the Pac-12 grabs the central time zone. Perhaps you even get some more subscriptions, because assuming some of those games would then be on the Pac-12 network, like, this would drive up for each, plus the Big 12 then gets the understanding that they're in a better place with their revenue as well. And so it's kind of a win-win without having to actually merge. So I think that makes a lot of sense, if starting in whatever year that would be, is Iowa State would then be mandated to play, you know, they have to play a Utah and they have to play a Washington.
Shaky Smithson.
Yeah, right. But I just think,
yeah, but you just brought back bad memories. I don't want any piece of Utah, okay?
That's a lot better if you're Fox.
I want Oregon.
Yeah, okay, give us Oregon again. Yeah, kick their ass. But that's a lot better for Fox, knowing that these non-conference games, of which we have, is better than Utah playing Sacramento State. I mean, you're getting made-for-TV matchups right away, and that drives up the value, and that means you probably would bid more on that contract. You still need somebody else, though, to play the game. And so I think it also helps being on the West Coast, as you get, you know, who knows? The streaming thing was brought up again by everybody this week for the playoff. Like, the powers that be want the streaming companies involved. Perhaps if you have this alliance with somebody out West, it's easier than to entice those guys to get into the game as well. So I think it makes a lot of sense, long story short.
I've long predicted that the first league to make a big deal with the streaming company would be the Pac-12, based off of Silicon Valley.
Yeah, they're alumni.
That's where
they're
alumni. Yeah, that it just makes the most sense that would be the first league that one of those companies would jump on.
Yep. So again, it's like it'd be an easy step to make without having to make the drastic step. And so I think that may be your first move before then maybe ultimately down the road you do a larger scale merger. What the Pac-12 is concerned about is USC, and USC has to ask itself, do we really want to go all the way east?
Yeah.
And it's a big question for them. Yeah, I mean, and And you're not talking about just the football. I mean, you're talking about all those sports potentially as well. I'm sure the Big Ten would love to have them, but man, that is a big step forward.
All right. In a second, I want to give Bloom the floor to bitch about national media members. We can name names too, because we don't care. We're not a part of a network, so we can say whatever the hell we want.
Yes, me and Stu Mandel are going to get into it.
What is his problem?
I don't know. Who does he think he is?
I'll tell you who he thinks. I he does good work.
Yeah.
I've read him for years. But for God's sake,
is he getting paid by the networks on the side?
Do all sports writers, and I fall into this too, do we all have to be stand-up comedians on Twitter? Can we not just like the self-importance meter of sports writers in general just drives me freaking crazy.
Cheers to that.
But, you know, I shouldn't get too nuts because my friends at the Iowa Clinic and Dr. Nicholson have talked to me about stress and anxiety and how I get myself too worked up over things.
That's true.
And then it crashes at the end. That's why coming up here, I always do it right before September. I just, you know, did that sound like typing? I type up iowaclinic.com and I will go to appointments on the right side and I will schedule my annual physical with Dr. Nicholson and Ankeny. I'm going to do it right here on my computer. I don't even have to pick up the phone anymore. They got like your patient portal, all that good stuff right at iowaclinic.com. They got everything. Bloom takes his kids there. They got pediatricians.
Been there a lot this summer.
They got a lot of like back pain experts and stuff like that. They got everything. All your locations, you click on the locations tab, and I can promise you wherever you live in the Des Moines Metro, the Iowa Clinic has got a spot for you. Most importantly, they've supported us here at Cyclone Fanatic for a really long time, so we ask you to support them. Check them out at iowaclinic.com today. Also, our friends at Gravitate Coworking, main man Jeff Wood, he's a huge Cyclone Fanatic listener, and he's a big supporter of ours as well. I would encourage you to go to gravitatecoworking.com.
I drove through Jefferson this week.
Did you see it?
I did.
Really?
Yeah. I wanted to stop. I didn't have time. Look great though.
Do they
Jefferson's
have a,
cool.
I like Jefferson. It's a good town. I love the Wild Rose Casino. Yeah, and then there. The sports book there is phenomenal.
And they've got the old school downtown, which is great.
Oh no, I just spilled something in my Cody Road.
Big fan of Jefferson. Green County, baby.
Anyways, check out Gravitate Coworking. I'm telling you, in this COVID deal, you know, people are talking about it again. This Delta.
I know.
We're gonna go
some weird directions, I think.
I think that these office buildings are in trouble, and co-working continues to become a better option, in my opinion.
Flexibility.
They do a really good job with the COVID protocols at gravitatecoworking.com. All right. You know, all these listen, man, I get it. I know where Iowa State is on the food chain. I've never once thought that Iowa State was Alabama. Okay, I understand all the stuff that goes with it. But I do think that the hate for the Angry Eight has gotten a little bit out of control. Like, I feel like people are going out of their way to, like, fans that are passionate and scared and worried and, like, just absolutely taking a big dump in our Cheerios, man.
Well, it's
big greasy dump.
And who decides who has value and not? Like, this is the biggest gripe I have over this whole ordeal. It's like, all right, I understand that the eight remaining are never going to be Texas and Oklahoma from a standpoint. I mean, they are large institutions. Yeah. They've had a lot of success. But at some point, you have to ask yourself, okay, let's step back a little bit here and figure out how do brands become brands? How do you get valuable? And you get valuable because you have a product people want to watch and you're successful, or in Texas, sometimes successful. But in that case, Chris, is it the chicken or the egg here? And this is what I keep coming back to is we go through this whole thing of all these eight don't have value. They're never going to have value. None of these TV networks should want them. They don't get the ratings. Well, if you go back and actually look at the context here, Iowa State has drawn comparatively pretty well. So this all started for me when they were going on and on, and Mandel wrote this piece 2 weeks ago, Stewie Mandel, about how
The Athletic.
Yeah,
they do Athletic. Good work. You can subscribe. I subscribe.
Cammy came over to say hello.
There's Cammy.
Hi, Cammy.
Hey, Cameron. Do you want to say hi to the listeners tonight?
Hi.
What do you have to say to them tonight?
What are you doing?
What are you doing? Daddy's been trying to get Cameron to start her own new business. What business do you need to get? Does Dad try to get you to start? We talked about it at the kitchen table today.
Friendship bracelets.
Don't you think she could start a great business selling and creating friendship bracelets for people?
I think you got a good built-in audience.
I think
right
it'd be
here.
Great. She could do a friendship bracelets podcast. We could build her a website. She could ship them all across the world. Oh, my pen pal in Mexico wants this color of a friendship bracelet, and Cameron creates it and sends it.
What's the resale value for one of those?
How much
what
you want to sell
what
your...
What can we sell those for, Cammy?
One.
$1. I feel like you're underpricing it a little bit.
Yeah, I think we'd have to
five. All right, you going to bed?
Shipping.
No, but my movie over.
Oh, okay. Well, Daddy's going to keep podcasting with Brent here, okay? Why don't you go up and play on your iPad, okay? All right. Mom's putting
Cammy.
Mom must be putting the baby to bed.
Yeah, so where I was.
So, yeah, sorry about that,
no,
listeners.
All good, but...
This is what you get.
This is what happens. So it struck me after Mandel wrote this piece a couple weeks ago saying, you know, if you look at every TV game outside of Texas and Oklahoma, it's pretty scary for the ratings. And, you know, Captain Obvious goes, well, okay, well, let's dig a little deeper here. If you look at Iowa State's games over the last 4 years since they've been good, okay, you want to go back to 2014-15, all right, you win because, quite frankly, nobody was interested in Iowa State because they weren't very good. But if you put apples to apples, and they've actually been successful since 2017, and you look at when Iowa State's been on Big Fox, on ABC, or on ESPN, their ratings are 5 times higher than if they're on FS1, ESPN2, or ESPNU.
Yeah.
Which makes sense to, again, Captain Obvious. However, when you look deeper here, Oklahoma's been on those three networks in the last 4 years 48 times. Texas has been on 34 times. Iowa State just 20. So, when Iowa State's been on the big networks, good example, the Washington State Alamo Bowl game, 5.5 million people watched that, which was the highest Alamo Bowl viewership since 2015, more so than Texas, Utah in 19, and Texas, Colorado in 20. Yes, Iowa State had more viewers in the Alamo Bowl than Texas did twice. Not exactly a huge audience in Washington State either.
Yeah.
And so Mandel replied to that tweet because he knew I was sniping him from outside. I did not tag him, but good kudos for him. And he goes, well, that was Gardner Minshew's show.
Oh, of course.
But how did Gardner Minshew become Gardner Minshew, C-Dub? He was on College Game Day in October, and they covered his games like he was a big program.
Yeah.
So you have to ask yourself, well, wait a second. How are these teams becoming the brand programs? It's when they get coverage.
Yeah.
So you can't blame the Iowa States of the world for not being a brand when they're not treated like a brand. And when they are treated like one and they're on the big three, they get viewers.
Mm-hmm.
The Iowa State-Memphis Liberty Bowl in 2017 outdrew the Houston Bowl with Texas and Missouri, two SEC programs. And here's little old Iowa State-Memphis that got more viewers because it was on ABC at a good time of day. And so my point is, even if you have this angry eight and you give them this platform where they have the national audience, I'm guessing with the oxygen in the room, somebody will build themselves a brand out of that. And so without Texas and Oklahoma, somebody else fills up the air and you can build a brand because somebody's going to win. And as Matt Campbell said
yesterday, a great quote
and it
Matt.
Plays right in, it's like people want to be around winners and they want to be successful. And as long as you have somebody that's successful, they will get viewers. Another good example. BYU Coastal Carolina this past year on ESPNU, kind of in the abyss, got almost 2 million viewers because it was promoted, for one, and those were two good teams. That's a good 2 million viewers is great for college football.
Especially
normally,
on ESPNU.
On ESPNU, the games Iowa State's been on there, you're getting 350,000, 400,000 people. Like, it's not very good. So if you look at the raw data, you go, oh, man, 400,000 people, that's gross. When Alabama's getting 8 million on CBS. But why is that? And I was like, we got to think more than just, all right, here's the numbers. They're not a brand. They have no value. It's like, how did they get to that point? And Oklahoma and Texas have this built-in lineage of they've been promoted and promoted and promoted. Texas has been back for 15 times in the last 15 years. It's like we're doing this whole vicious cycle, and you can't blame the other eight when they're not promoted like Texas and Oklahoma?
Doesn't that play too into the conversation about like if like some super league is formed, the short-sightedness of it?
Completely.
There because like if I'm an Auburn fan and I'm in that super league, I'm not going to watch Coastal and BYU.
Correct.
And vice versa, if I'm a Coastal and a BYU fan and we're in like this different division, I'm not going to watch Auburn, Mississippi State. Where now, like I might. Like if it's on and it's a good game.
You got it.
I'd tune it on. But like now, I'd actually rather watch Kansas and Arizona because they're in my team's league. And, yep. I do think that that's going to be a big time problem if you get to a 24 team league.
It completely is. And so I just keep coming back to it. It's like if you want to build a 15 team superpower league, okay, go for it. But people aren't going to watch it. They're just not going to watch it. And the fact that these national media writers are going to play into this by, I mean, I get it. If you look at the data, it is what it is, and it's not pretty if you look outside of Texas and Oklahoma. So the couple pushbacks I got on this is, well, who is Iowa State playing in those games? And you'd be surprised. Sure, Texas and Oklahoma are part of those because they've been on national TV the most, but there's a lot of the West Virginia game. Remember the night game? That had a good number. Iowa and Iowa State always draw well the couple times they've been on Fox. And Iowa's not any different than Iowa State, really, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
Memphis drew well. Washington State was good. The Oregon game and the Fiesta Bowl had a good number relative. But it's just like, if we're promoting, if the big four-letter network would take the time to promote this, it's like they can create their own brand just with them. And so if in their mind, their perfect world, they don't have to pay any of these leagues except for the Super League, it's probably best for ESPN. But I don't think it's best for college football. And but again, ESPN controls the keys here because they really, it's amazing. What they want to promote, it's going to be popular. People will watch. It's almost as simple as that. It's like they are, and they know it, that they hold the cards here. And, you know, Fox is gaining on them. If you look at ratings, they're getting closer. But it's tough to, if ESPN does not want to promote you, you're going to be relegated to a second-class citizen. It just is what it is, unless something changes.
Which is where, yeah, I mean, I think it really becomes key, like, for the Pac-12, like, they've got to keep USC. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in the Big Ten, like, if they don't keep, I don't think Ohio State and Michigan want to leave the Big Ten, but my point being, and I kind of wrote about this last week, it's not perfect. It's not a perfect comparison. No. But if you took the top two brands out of any league.
And you're exactly right.
You know, like, the value, maybe it's not 50%. Well, one, you know, it's the smallest league, so it's going to be a bigger chunk. But, like, I mean, take Alabama and LSU out of the SEC. You know, it's significantly less. I mean, you got Florida. I'm just talking the television stuff like we're talking about. I mean, I understand there's some good brands. I get all that. It's not a perfect comparison. But take Ohio State and Michigan out of the Big Ten. Take USC and Oregon or USC and whoever out of the Pac-12. Like, it is not, it's a huge deal.
Yep. So then you run into a 12. So 12 teams of value, is that it?
Take Clemson and Florida State out of the ACC.
I know.
Like, who's watching that league?
So, and if
that's college football, it's always been this way.
The reason why those eight are being talked about is because the Big 12's first. It's as simple as that. I know. If this was anybody else, that they would be talking the same about Washington State and Oregon State.
I mean,
State
like
and
Oregon
Utah
State and Washington State aren't any different than Kansas State and Iowa State. And Iowa State and Kansas State are way more relevant. It's just they're in a worse spot right now.
So it was frustrating to me where these eight just get written about like they have no redeeming value at all.
Baylor just won a national title. But basketball doesn't matter. I challenge you this. When we're buying subscriptions to these things, you think Kansas and Iowa State basketball fans aren't going to buy subscriptions?
You got it. And so my point is, let's say the Big 12 adds two or four with whoever. Somebody in that group's going to be competitive and get good and be nationally relevant. Hopefully it's Iowa State. And at that point, if you have a top 10 team playing in meaningful games.
Lance Leopold, man.
Yeah.
That's my guy.
If you have one of those programs, people will watch. Like SMU, look at SMU's ratings
Boise.
This year. People will start to watch. And it's just like
Boise got its own television contract with ESPN because they play on like Thursdays and stuff all the time.
You know? You go. And guess who then started promoting Boise?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, it's a cycle of...
BYU's the same way. Yeah, why do you think BYU got all that pub last year? Because they were independent and they play whenever the hell ESPN told them to.
And look how much ESPN started talking about Coastal last year.
Yeah.
And it kind of pissed us off at Iowa State fans, but look at Coastal's ratings got a lot better.
Yeah.
And so it's...
How many alums does Coastal have?
I always say this.
We've been there. We call basketball games there. Yeah, that is not a big...
Not much there. It literally was like Lincoln High School, honestly.
Yeah, really.
Individual people are smart. The collective people are not. And so people will watch what you tell them to watch. It's as simple as that. Look at political news, honestly. People will watch what you tell them to watch. And if you promote this over and over
again... If you're the right guy in the right time slot, they'll listen to anything that you say.
They will. And so it's just like... If Iowa State's in a league that gets promoted, people will watch. I don't think it's Iowa State in itself that's the problem here. Sure, Ames is not big, but neither is Auburn, Alabama. Like you, it's just it's a chicken and the egg thing. And unfortunately, Iowa State's being talked about as if they're, you know, these angry eight are lepers, and I don't think that's the case. If a network would give them a chance, and they'd be promoted as such, they're never going to be Texas and Oklahoma, but they're also not going to be, you know, whack schools either, like they're being talked about.
I would agree. All right, let's move on. Just a couple other quick things. Fall camp has started. We've got Iowa State Football Media Day is on Monday, so you'll have a ton of content from that.
See Campbell say he's got 11 starting offensive linemen?
Yes.
Let's just run out the 11 offensive linemen package.
Speaking of package, when you talk about 11 starting offensive linemen, that does interesting things to mine. You know how long I've been waiting for a quote like that?
Put that on a tee.
Do you know how long I've been waiting for a quote like that, Bloom?
11 offensive linemen. That's what we got this year.
Campbell's just...
And then he added to it. He's like, and we got some younger guys I'm not even including in that. Basically, Campbell says we have 16 starting offensive linemen.
Real quick, I want to do a quick plug for our Patreon and our premium. If you are a tier three patron,
how many tiers do you have?
There's three.
Okay.
$5, $10, $20.
Got it.
The $20.
So your tier threes are the highest tier?
Yes.
Like the most?
We will be hosting, we're going to get a live fall camp update from Skip, Greg Brobinek, Matt Campbell's right-hand man Monday at 8 o'clock at night for the $20 and up folks. And he joined us last year. It's really good. He's pretty comfortable with us, so he'll come out and talk.
Skip's great.
So that's a little promotion to promote our Patreon page and our premium members. I kind of look at you guys not as like customers, but more as like stakeholders in everything we're doing. I always am getting like the patrons will tell me what they're looking for, and we'll help them out. And our premium and Patreon members are also getting a special kickoff party, which is coming up next week.
I got invited to that, right?
You're on the panel.
Oh,
Todd Blythe, it's you, me, Todd Blythe, and Brett Meyer.
Ooh. Who doesn't
and Jeff Woody? Jeff Woody will be there too. Bunch of legends and us.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways, that'll be at the Iowa Tap Room. Looking forward to that. So join up. Yeah, if you join now, can you go to that? If you join now, you'll see the link.
$20?
It's $25.
$25.
We're not making any money. I wanted to clarify this. $25 gets you a meal. So they're going to have a burger bar.
But what's it cost to be get in the tier in order to get an invite to that?
Oh, any of them. You can pay $5 a month and get an invite to that. Anybody who is part of our premium family.
Got it.
But you get for $25, you get the program that we're going to put on.
Yep.
You get a free glass of a Cody Rogue cocktail or a Carol Light beer.
Oh.
You get the burger bar and again, the program. So it's a nice little fun night. And basically, I mean, all the money raised is just going to the Iowa Tap Room to pay like the staff.
For sure.
And for the food and stuff. So,
food.
Mississippi River Brewing Company. Not brewing company, Mississippi River Distilling. Makers of Cody Rogue will be there with the Cyclone Fanatic Cody Rogue bottles, which are on shelves now.
Get your value back.
So there you
tenfold.
Go.
I was in Carroll this week too.
Nice. Well, Carroll
Country Club.
I
like Carroll.
Working on a deal with Carroll Light. Have you ever had Carroll Light?
I have.
You see it in the IVs.
Very tasty.
Yeah. Stay tuned for that. Okay. Michael Jacobson's in the NFL.
Tight end, you
talk about like. I mean,
I read that. And I was like,
I didn't see that one coming.
Wait
did you?
A second.
Mike Jacobson, former Cyclone men's basketball starter,
Big 12 champion, kind of.
He has now been signed to a contract with the Seattle Seahawks as a tight. They actually cut another guy to bring Jacobson.
That's right.
That's fascinating to me.
Crazy.
I mean, I don't.
We
really,
need the backstory.
I don't
need the backstory.
Yeah, I don't.
Can
have,
we get Rob to call Michael?
Yeah, I mean,
because what I understand, okay, so Michael, quality Waukee High grad.
Yeah, he was a hell of an athlete.
Great. I mean, he was great.
Yeah.
All-state, both football and basketball. Decided to go basketball to Nebraska. Iowa State did offer him as a tight end. I believe that was the Paul Rhodes staff that did that. So he could have played either at a high level.
You know me. I love tight ends. Love him.
6'7", 6'8", I think I was the basketball program listed him at. But so Michael gets done. He's also a finance major from the Ivy College of Business and had like a 3.8 GPA. So he could go make like real dollars and be fine. But he decides to play professional basketball, as I understand it, in Ukraine. If you know anything about the politics of Ukraine, very interesting over there. And decided that maybe Ukraine wasn't the place to be. His agent had a relationship with a scout with Seattle. They gave him a look. Apparently, Michael wanted to not be out on the streets in Ukraine, and who could blame him again?
It's where like, was he at? In Ukraine?
I don't know exactly where in Ukraine. He was in Ukraine.
You and, know, when you talk about Ukraine, I can only think about one thing. It's this Seinfeld episode.
Of course.
Are you sure you know where the impound yard is?
Oh, stop.
Kramer and Newman are playing Risk.
I can't think. It's all this noise.
They're on the subway.
Or is it because I've built a stronghold around Greenland? I've driven you out of Western Europe? And I've left you teetering on the brink of complete annihilation.
I'm not beaten yet. I still have armies in the Ukraine.
The Ukraine. You know what the Ukraine is? It's a sitting duck. A road apple, Newman. The Ukraine is weak. It's feeble. I think it's time to put the hurt on the Ukraine.
I come from Ukraine. You not say Ukraine weak?
Yeah, well, we're playing a game here, pal.
Ukraine is game to you. How about I take your little Boris?
The Ukraine is not weak.
He did play for Kiev Basket.
He was in Kiev. Interesting. I listened to this financial podcast, these two douchebags. But they're really smart, but I can't stand the guys. I just want to punch them because they're just total douchebags.
You know, there's somebody out there that just is singing the same thing with us, too.
But I like their except information, but this yeah. They just travel all over the world. They're just these, like, bachelors, mm-hmm. and they just live off of their, like, dividends. And this one guy is, like, obsessed with Kiev. He moved there. It's like, why in the hell would you move there? But I guess it maybe it's your thing. I don't know.
So Jacobson worked out like crazy while he was there and turned himself into a tight end.
Really?
And now he's going to get a shot.
What are his chances? Like,
I don't know.
It seems like a far-fetched deal to
but
me.
But NFL teams love that. You know, when you have the practice squad, you can have those extra, 12 guys, 10 guys that they feel like they – like Rico – remember Rico Gathers?
Yeah.
Same story. He's still fighting a battle at Dallas. So you can take a chance on somebody like that, stash them for a year in the practice squad, and those guys still make a couple $100,000 to be on the practice squad. Wouldn't be a bad deal.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when Carper was trying to, back before he blew out his knee, and like the whole hope was just make a practice squad for 3 years, and you get the NFL pension.
You get the pension, yep.
Yeah, then, depending on your lifestyle, you really don't have to work another day the rest of your life.
Look at our buddy Sage Rosenfels.
Yeah. I mean, Sage has the greatest life of anybody I know.
Has the NFL, and again, we love Sage.
Yeah.
He worked hard for it.
Oh, yeah.
He was back, mainly a backup. He started 15 games or so, but he'll be the first to tell you that he's living comfortably thanks to that NFL pension now.
Comfortably is a good word to put it.
Yeah. And he didn't take the beating that others would. But anyway, hopefully this works out for Michael. He's got, the great thing with him though, he's got a lot of potential in the working world should this not work? So it's like, why not try it? He's only 24. This is great.
Yeah. No.
Good
no.
for him. I was excited to read that. Keep an eye on it.
Anyways, so yeah, there's just the fall camp stuff. I really don't think there's any notable other than the offensive line comment.
They started yesterday.
Yeah.
So nothing has happened
yet. Nothing. But we'll be all over that, and hopefully next Sunday night we'll have some stuff to talk about.
What's the access like this fall?
Pretty similar.
Okay.
It's just
coach every day.
Yeah, the only thing that they've changed throughout this deal is now they're making you wear a mask, you know, because the Delta variant,
yep.
which I get. Like, yeah. I'm totally, you know, and there are guys on the team who aren't vaccinated. I would hope that they're not trotting those
guys
out.
That was the other thing, as Campbell said, 90% of the team is vaccinated.
So that's really good.
That's good.
That's really strong when you look across the board at sports in general.
Yes.
My guy Kirk Cousins made some news over the last week.
He did.
This season, like, I mean,
it's going to be a weird season because there's no longer COVID postponements. It's a forfeit if you can't go.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a story. That's going to happen at some point in college football for sure. Somebody's going to have to forfeit.
Yeah, and we don't really know yet the threshold.
No.
That would force a postponement.
Do not. It'll be
the Big 12. Bowlesby said at Media Day they would get that to us when it was done, but it's not known yet.
It's fascinating. And again, the vaccinated, and I'm not getting political here, but the vaccinated student athletes have a different testing protocol than the non-vaccinated.
This is not political.
It's going,
but people turn it into a. Sure. This is not a political conversation. But
I do think in a broader context, the Iowa State students start coming back. Really started last week into this week, and we'll see. I mean, I don't think it's going to have an impact on the season. Right now, Iowa State University is full on, full class, everything normal, no mask mandates, none of that. I mean, it just makes you wonder if...
Can they do a mask, or did the Reynolds thing that she put on the schools, does that go to public universities?
It does.
Can they do a mask mandate?
I don't know. I mean... I don't know.
I don't know the answer.
I don't know
to
if
that.
They could or not. I don't think they could. I don't know. Above my pay grade. But I think you know, as it relates to Jack Trice Stadium too, I don't envision, no matter how dicey this Delta thing gets, being in any impact on the stadium for those curious.
I don't either.
I just don't think it's gonna.
I don't either. Vastly different conversation
than it was a year ago.
Than we were having a year ago. We're right at the derecho time.
That's right. August 11th.
When you look back at... Oh, was it 11th? So
yeah.
Literally almost exactly a year from
it's this
that.
Week.
God.
Yeah, no, a year ago this time, because I remember, because it's right around my wife's birthday. This is why I remember this. That's so, when the end of the world podcast happened.
We had a deal. The air conditioner broke this weekend.
Ooh.
Yesterday? I mean, it got to like 84 degrees in our house. It was brutal. Awful.
Brutal. Especially when you have a... 2-year-old.
I learned very quickly that I am not cut out to live in a world without air conditioner. I'm just not.
You got to take care of.
Stayed down in the basement a lot. I was working in my
Feels
gym.
Nice in here now. You get it taken care of.
Yeah, yeah. Luckily, I know a guy who knew a guy.
Got it.
And
it's always good to have an air conditioning guy.
Yeah, and now I got to figure out if I'm just going to replace the thing at the end of the year. I mean, we've been in this house for 11 years. This house is 16 years old. And the air conditioner's never been replaced.
That's kind of the lifespan
of an
air conditioner.
I feel like we're kind of playing with house money at this point.
Just no more derechos, please.
God, no. Please, no. Anyways, happy birthday to your wife.
Thank you.
My little baby, my beautiful little Elise, turns 2 a week from today. So the next week's pod might be weird. I don't know. Well, we maybe have to do that on Monday or something like that.
But hey, we're 4 weeks away, everybody. Like,
did you watch the Hall of Fame game?
Shove all. I did. I struggle.
Every year I'm like, I'm going to watch this, and then I don't care.
I struggle with bad football. It's like, these guys aren't going to matter.
Yeah. I had it on. I was watching it at Alan Jackson's bar. I was watching. It was kind of on in the background. But
did you run into...
Oh, I ran into, like...
Anybody?
So I was actually on the phone with Stansberry at one point. I was doing business calls, just walking around Broadway.
What's Broadway? The street?
That's where it's... Dude, it's...
It's been a while. I've been to Nashville once. I was with the Iowa State women's basketball team in 2007, and we went to Vanderbilt.
It's great. The greatest city in the world.
Man, you're all in.
Oh.
They're going to get a baseball team. Do you know that?
MLB team?
Yeah, probably. Rumors Tampa's out. And they're going to go to
Count
Nashville.
Me in. That's my second favorite team, man. I love those southern baseball teams. It is the best city in the world. Like, everything is about country music and whiskey.
Country music, whiskey, and good-sized population.
And you'll learn there's more than Jack Daniels. I mean, Jack Daniels is a huge deal down there, but there's a lot of different Tennessee whiskeys that is... I love Tennessee whiskey.
I'm telling you, CommodoreFanatic.com.
Oh, I love that. It's the single greatest city on the face of the planet, and it is amazing.
Trivia question. Who is the Vanderbilt football coach? I know the basketball coach. Basketball coach is Jerry Stackhouse. I do not know the football coach.
It's an assistant who just got hired.
Oh, it was the old Notre Dame guy.
Fisher.
Is it Fisher? It's the old Notre Dame defensive coordinator.
Yeah, he's an old court. I think his last name's Fisher. Is it Fisher?
I'll look it up. It's the old, it is Clark Lee.
Oh, I was way off.
Samsonite.
No, we got to do that. I got it. But
Call Pollard.
Hey, you need to schedule
Vanderbilt.
He's not scheduling SEC games now. Are you kidding me? You think we would give Vanderbilt all that ticket money from Iowa State fans that would go there?
Oh, so other
Hell
news.
No.
Did you see this? The UNLV AD?
No.
Got hired to Missouri. She's got hired to Missouri.
Shut up.
Yes. You didn't see that?
Desiree?
Yeah. Yeah. The hyphenated last name? Yeah. She just got hired to Missouri.
Well, I'm not surprised. She's been...
knocking on the door.
Well, I thought she was going to get UCLA the last time. So interesting.
She's now just in Columbia.
Wow. So
I know you know her through.
Yeah, so she's not going to be sticking it to Iowa State fans for football anymore?
Well, I think the damage has been done.
Wow.
And they're not going to open up that upper deck.
I did not know that. Well, good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for her. TJ made the mistake of giving me and Clint and Corey tickets next to her family at a game one time.
Did you talk to Desiree?
End it right there. Talk to her husband. Good guy. Anyway,
she's like a rising star in the AD.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would love to, when I do my book, when Pollard's retired, I'd love to get some comments on her. On how that deal, on the buyout with TJ and then the UNLV
thing.
Ticket thing and see what Mr. Pollard
I do thinks. Wonder, so they just, again, I don't want to make this a COVID podcast, but they reinstituted the mask situation in Vegas last week.
No, I think it's notable.
So
I mean,
we'll see what that means for September.
We had a whole deal with our charter where, you have to wear a mask in the plane. Yeah. Like you do. It's not,
but just
it's not our rule. It's the federal aviation rule.
For those... going, I know there's 25,000 cyclones that are going there. Just keep an eye on the news.
Can I make another comment, though? And this will make some people mad, but it drives me freaking crazy. Like, when I'm watching the Olympics,
okay,
and the two swimmers get done swimming, and they're hugging each other, and, like, they're all over each other, right? Because they're in each other's face.
Like a relay? Are they relay teammates?
No, like, you know, the lane four wins, lane two gets silver, and they're hugging, and like, and then they come up to the camera and they're still like touching each other and like whatever. And the reporters are all like 10 feet away because everything is COVID over there. And then they put on the freaking mask. It drives me nuts. I know why they're doing it. They're trying to encourage. I understand. But like, we're not idiots. Like, we just saw you. We just saw you kissing that other woman on the forehead because right. Like, we just saw it. There was a camera on you. You don't need to put your mask on to talk into a microphone because then it hurts us as the viewer and we can't understand you as well. We want to see you smile. You just want a gold medal. You don't need to do that. It's been the Olympics. It's been driving me nuts. They can't compete if they have COVID. Like, they're being tested.
Chris Hannity back at it.
No, stop. But you know what I mean. Like,
I agree.
It drives me nuts.
I think
it drove me nuts a year ago. It's a million times worse now. They're all pretty much all vaccinated and have been tested. They don't need to put the mask on to talk into a microphone.
I'm nodding my head.
Is that going to offend people, what I just said?
I could. I don't know. I mean, we're into
like
most of this.
I feel like it's a rational take.
I think it is a very rational take.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that was... I don't think that was appropriate what you said. Calling me Chris Hannity. Like, I don't believe that I deserved that.
Chris Carlson. Tucker.
No.
Chris...
Kasich.
Chris Kasich, yeah.
Right down the middle, baby.
Yeah, who's down the middle, you poor?
Right down the middle.
I don't even know. Good stuff. But anyway, keep an eye on Vegas. It might impact your travel plans.
Oh. I mean, you just might have to wear a mask.
It's the stadium's indoors. That's my point. Like,
yeah, you
don't
may have to wear a mask. Yeah. We're still going to have the game. All right.
We get the quarantine podcast can continue as such.
Thanks, Bloom. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
That's it. We will have... I'm trying to find which English song that we should be playing here. Should we go with the classic?
Go to the old standby. It's called, because people can now download and buy this.
Yes. I would encourage you to buy it.
Yeah, buy it. Buy it for English, please.
Spend some money with our guys English. Auro Bros. Ourobros.
Auro Bros.
Boris.
Ouroboros.
English taking you home on a Sunday night. Have a great week. Hopefully some positive realignment news. Probably not, though. Maybe, I wouldn't hold your breath.
Maybe Stuart Mandel will buy this song.
Do you think he'll come on the pod with us next week if enough of our people ask him?
I'll show him my athletic subscription.